Jonas Clegg, wiping the blood-slicked blade of the Punga on its coat. He knew the others would be watching his back, so he didn't bother to turn around. He heard heavy boots and the tapping of the ferrule of a walking stick. His mind went to the figure that he and Christy had spotted through the creeping fog the night before.
Is he chilled?
Ryan answered without looking behind him.
Try waking him if you think he's just sleeping.
Who's done for Jonas? The one-eyed outlander? I don't hear thee, landlord. Speak up, Rodriguez, or I'll have thee flayed.
Captain Quad, it was...
The Punga wiped free of blood. Ryan sheathed it at his belt and straightened, and turned to face the ugliest woman he'd ever seen in his life. Captain Pura Quad was 47 years old. She was 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighed in at a muscular 170. Her hair was a wonderful deep auburn, spoiled by being filthy and greasy. She wore knee-length boots and stained black leather, cracked and dulled with salt. Her black skirt reached below her knees, and she was swaddled in several layers of thick sweaters. Overall was a dark blue pea coat with tarnished brass buttons. A belaying pin, its end gleaming from use, was stuck in the broad leather belt. Her right hand gripped a stout walking stick, its end gray iron, and the handle a smooth piece of ivory. Ryan guessed that from behind she could have been mistaken for a middleweight male wrestler run to fat. From the front, she was clearly an astoundingly ugly woman. Her complexion was sallow, the skin oddly tight in places, slack in others. The furrows and wrinkles were seamed with dirt. Spots and boils decorated her cheeks and chin. A faint, bristling mustache clung tenaciously to her upper lip. Her eyes were sunken in rolls of fat like raisins in dough, and they glittered like chips of jet, fixing themselves to Ryan's face. When she smiled, Captain Quad revealed a most peculiar set of false teeth. Ryan realized with a shudder of revulsion that they had been carved from some kind of animal bone.
Thou butchered Goodman Jonas? Thou with a single stab and glim to peek through? Is that true, Rodriguez? The truth, thou sniveling bastard!
The landlord couldn't meet her eyes. Glancing toward Ryan Cotter, he decided he couldn't face him either.
Well...
Good evening, Captain Quad. I chilled your man.
Thy name?
Ryan Cotter.
Why didst thou slaughter poor mild Jonas? He would not have harmed a sleeping babe.
The woman quickly turned and stared in the direction of the piano.
I didn't like his attitude.
The surging anger that had pushed him into the fight with the seaman still moved within Ryan. Gentler, like the waves on a beach after the eye of the storm had passed, but still strong enough to fuel his instinctive dislike of the hoggish woman. She moved closer, and he noticed that she limped on her right leg. Ryan's eye was caught by Christy, who was looking at Captain Quad with an expression of almost religious horror. Her lips were moving, and Ryan guessed she was whispering an invocation to Gaia, the Earth Mother. Her long crimson hair was coiled tightly and protectively about her skull.
Didst thou not like the way Jonas spoke and looked? For that he was slain. Lies here, leaking out his red, red roses.
Ryan allowed his right hand to drop to the butt of his blaster.
Don't come any closer.
Piraquat halted, a scant 6 feet from him. Very slowly she lifted the cane in her hand, until as cold as death, the ferrule touched Ryan's throat. He made no move to stop it, knowing that she couldn't manage enough leverage from where she stood to harm him.
Thou dost threaten me, outlander. Thou hast no love for living. Knowest thou not that no man in Claggettville would dare to lift a hand against me?
Then Claggettville doesn't contain many men, does it?
The walking cane was lowered slowly until it tapped on the boards. The woman moved back a step, seeing that the spreading pool of blood from Clegg's corpse was oozing stickily closer to the toes of her boots.
I'd give a rum keg filled with jack to have thee board the Salvation when we sail the day after the Mara, to go hunt the great whales across the gray ocean.
Her eyes roamed around the silent tavern as she spoke, and Ryan felt a faint prickling of something that was almost fear between the blades of his shoulders. The way this stocky woman seemed to hold the entire villain thrall was disturbing. He'd seen barons running frontier pestvils who had less presence than Captain Pyrrha Quad.
What dost thou want done with...
The landlord pointed at the corpse, not knowing quite what to call it.
Garbage! Heave it off the dock and let the eels take it.
Aye, Captain.
The woman fixed Ryan again with her stare.
Thou hast had a day, Outlander. Times pass. List and thou canst hear it sliding by. 3 days without work and thou must leave or work will be found. Think on that, Ryan Carter.
Go back out into the fog where you belong. Or stay and get yourself chilled like that piece of meat over there.
Big words, Outlander.
She spun around and stepped to the door, the stick tapping smartly. She paused for a moment, hand on the latch, and Ryan half drew the pistol, expecting her to turn holding a hideaway blaster. But she opened the heavy door, her dark shape silhouetted a moment against the white fog beyond. Then she was gone. Ryan gathered the others. It wasn't the time to linger in the cramped bar, among so many threatening strangers.
Up to the room.
Donphil was last into the room, shutting the door gently and leaning his shoulder against it.
Lot of sour badness in that woman.
Right. I could hardly breathe with her in the same room, Ryan. Why did you have to push the fight with...
Because I had to. I did it, he's chilled. Let's move on.
If I may venture a small suggestion, I think we would do well to consider the possibility of moving on from whatever this dreary place is called. Claggartville. It came back to me.
I hate this place. It's full of badness. We should get out and back to the gateway and go someplace else.
Ryan looked at Jack and JB, the only two in the group who hadn't spoken.
How about it?
Don't see any point staying. No Wake, no Jack. I say go.
The armorer still stayed silent. He walked across to the low window and peered out, wiping at the condensation with his sleeve.
JB?
Trader used to say something about the man who doesn't get into a firefight but runs away lives to run away on another day.
Yeah, but what do? I agree with Jack in a way. Can't see much to keep us in this, Phil. Woman like that Pyrrha Quad looks like she could pull a lot of strings in Claggartville. If someone maybe plans to cold cock me, I'd rather not stick around for them.
So we go.
Doc sat on one of the beds.
When should we plan our departure?
Donphil also sat down, to avoid stooping almost double under the low ceiling.
Tonight?
Jack joined JB at the window, looking across the fog-shrouded roofs towards the masts of the ships. Now that they knew the layout of the quay, it was possible to work out which was the salvation. Farthest to the right, as they saw it.
Oh, bitch, watch for us.
Probably.
A lot of sec patrols on the roads. Might have to blast our way out.
JB was right. From what they'd seen of the Ville, it was tightly run. The seven companions would have the firepower and could certainly get clear of the outskirts of the place, but that didn't guarantee that they could get back to the beach where they left a raft and make it across the treacherous waters of the Sound. The Ville was full of ships of all sizes. The sec men might simply shadow them from the sea and then pick them off like ants in a sugar bowl.
First light? Nah, dark's better.
Can't wait until the 3 days are up. Too much pressure on us. Too many eyes. Too many mouths flapping. Best if we